Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
Elsa is one weather threat. Extreme heat and drought in the West is another.
Wildfire season is already proving to be destructive. More than 150,000 acres have burned so far in the Telegraph and Mezcal fires combined.
This is going to be an enormously dangerous wildfire season just because of how many more people we have living in these areas that are really forested. I mean, we pushed development into places where people did not used to live. And at the same time, we're making the planet drier.
Oregon and much of the Pacific Northwest is heading into fire season dry. Very dry.
We are sucking the moisture out of our forest. The Pacific Northwest, which is known for its temperate forest, is getting drier and it's starting to burn.
Dryness in the background, we are concerned about the condition of the fuels that are out there.
So this is a combination of drier, hotter conditions that are more prone to wildfire, and also humans moving closer to that fuel, to that kindling, to that wood. You know, you see all these stories about McMansions setting on fire, someplace in Malibu, something like that. But when you look at a lot of these structures that burned, I mean, this is a lot of mobile homes. It's a lot of, you know, Latinx residents who came to work in the service industry or came to work in agriculture who are setting up where they can.
Es un incendio, una vez que se empieza, ya es difícil. Mayormente si está alejado de donde no hay, donde no está la ayuda para que los terminen.
You know, this didn't make it into the story, but you know, I did speak with some people who have studied how disaster aid was distributed after the fact, and you know, there needs to be better communication in Spanish language, in other languages, and you know, there was an audit from the state of California after wildfires there the past couple years that said plainly that the state is not geared to helping diverse and vulnerable populations withstand these events.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna, and today, Politico's Zach Coleman on the group most vulnerable to wildfires out in the West. It's Wednesday, July 7th.
We're looking at some research that I had come across from a firm called RISC, which analyzes climate risk. And they really look at it from the financial sector perspective. But what they found by looking at the housing market was that Latinos are actually more prone to wildfire than any other population, any other demographic in the U.S. So it really pointed to a lot of environmental justice issues where RISC said it was pretty clearly high housing costs that drove Latino populations, Latinx populations to more dangerous areas. And you have this terrible mix where people who maybe are experiencing housing insecurity also are the ones having to recover from these wildfires, and they might not have the means to do so.
Si perdimos todo, pertenencias, documentos importantes, todo se perdió.
Essentially, in the U.S., we don't have housing policy. So I think that what it comes down to is local communities can decide to build affordable housing, but there is a tension against that because so many communities are funded by property tax revenues, and there's an incentive on development at the highest property values.
Do we know the medium and or long-term effects of being on the front lines of these disasters like these wildfires?
I mean, there's so many things that happen right away in a wildfire. You're inhaling wildfire smoke. You might lose your property. You might be pushed out of your property, even if, you know, there's some damage and you think you can return to it. Well, you might have to take a little while to get repairs done there. Then where do you go? If you work in outdoor industries, then you might be losing wages as the air becomes too toxic to work in, or as you're literally fleeing where you work.
This seems like another area where obviously environmental people would be calling for environmental justice to be part of the policymaking process. Is the White House and is Congress aware of this problem, and what ideas, if any, do they have to address these disparities?
I think that you've seen Gina McCarthy speak quite a bit about wildfire and its dangers, and it is very front of mind as we've seen this wildfire season already projecting to be worse than last year. The Biden administration just last week actually decided to try to increase the pay for firefighters because they realized that retaining a federal firefighting workforce is necessary and even more crucial as wildfire season gets longer and is more intense. And a lot of these firefighters don't get paid nearly enough for all the dangers they endure and all the health problems from toxic smoke and particulate matter that they inhale that can affect them long term.
Are existing federal policies for rebuilding and restoring communities after wildfires, do those policies that are in place right now, do they account for this discrepancy in any sort of meaningful way and that Latinos are disproportionately affected by these fires?
Well, here's the issue. I mean, a lot of recovery dollars are accessed through FEMA, but those dollars are not as accessible as one would think. There's a lot of paperwork, so more wealthy communities end up being able to access those funds. Latino residents fear, in some cases, applying for these FEMA dollars. There were persistent rumors, according to people that I talked to who have done field work after wildfires, that if you applied for this FEMA federal aid after a disaster, that your information would be reported to the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees FEMA and also Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. So there were U.S. legal residents who were living with undocumented immigrants who didn't want that information being shared with FEMA because they might eventually get to DHS, who tells ICE, and then ICE comes and visits your home and then gets your family or friends deported.
Es cuestión de todos nosotros que nos unamos y que cuidemos el medio ambiente, ¿no?
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. I'm Anthony Adragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.